Welcome to Power Play. On a day when the poisoning of a former Russian spy triggered a deportation blitz from the UK and generated international condemnation of Russia, including from Canada, which gave its full support for the retaliation, the British High Commissioner is standing by. Also coming up, students walked out across the USA today to protest gun violence. But in Pennsylvania, all eyes remain on a still up-in-the-air congressional race where Donald Trump was the ballot box issue. Our Washington Bureau brings us the latest. And the new NDP leader attended a 2015 rally advocating for a separate Sikh homeland carved out of India. This was the issue that haunted the Prime Minister on his recent tour. We'll explain why this is controversial and ask the strategists if this is a big political headache for Jagmeet Singh. And is Doug Ford the new Stephen Harper? Well, at least one commentator makes that compelling case that he is the second coming of the former prime minister. He'll join us in the press gallery. But first, they missed the deadline to come up with a viable explanation for how Russian nerve gas got into a former spy sitting in a British pub. That motivated Prime Minister Theresa May to declare the attempted murder of Nikolai Skripal and his daughter that was an unlawful use of force by Russia against the UK.
Under the Vienna Convention, the United Kingdom will now expel 23 Russian diplomats who have been identified as undeclared intelligence officers. They have just 1 week to leave. This will be the single biggest expulsion for over 30 years, and it reflects the fact that this is not the first time that the Russian state has acted against our country.
All right, the British High Commissioner of Canada is Susan Lejeune-Dalgazek. She joins me in the studio. I don't know if I pronounced that completely right, but let's hope so. Let's talk about these 23. How do you identify them as spies, and why? When are they being deported, and on what grounds?
They have a week to leave the country, and I think our own intelligence services have a pretty clear idea about who the intelligence agents are in the Russian embassy, whether they're declared or not. They'll be out of the country within a week.
And they could come back. I guess they could send replacements over. How do you prevent that?
The Prime Minister also said that she would take steps to make sure they couldn't rebuild their intelligence capability. So we will obviously be looking really carefully at whoever applies for a visa to come and work in the Russian embassy to replace them.
But there's, I mean, the retaliation goes a lot further than that. You're even going to the point where suspending high-level contacts from talking. What does that mean?
I think that is as much a symbolic gesture as anything else. And the Prime Minister has made it very clear that we can't go on with business as usual when the Russians have done this on British soil.
And does this impact travel at all between the two countries?
Not for ordinary citizens. And I think the Prime Minister has also been very clear that we don't have any beef with the Russian people. You know, genuine Russian visitors and citizens and people living in the UK and vice versa, we're very happy to have them there. But we are not happy to have people living in the country who do this sort of thing, or visiting the country who do this sort of thing.
There's talk of an asset freeze. Is that going to be imposed?
When it can be clear that those assets have been used for nefarious purposes, yeah.
I know Russia, if I was looking at the reaction, right, they seemed almost more worried about the fact you might boycott the World Cup soccer tournament than anything else. There is an element of that, though, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the World Cup is a big thing for Russia. I mean, it's a big thing. The eyes of the world will be upon it, and that's one of the reasons why we have decided that none of our ministers and no members of our royal family will be attending it. Again, right. Symbolic, but important.
Yeah, I want to bring in Canada did join in the chorus. Chrystia Freeland issued a statement. It reads in part that we condemn in the strongest terms the despicable use of a chemical agent on the sovereign territory of the United Kingdom, a point I recently conveyed to my British counterpart, Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson. Russia's likely involvement in this attack is a serious breach of the rules-based order. Canada offers its complete support to the United Kingdom and call on all states to cooperate fully with British investigators. I should say that Russia didn't waste any time saying that was a bad thing for Canada, by the way, High Commissioner. They issued a statement saying, "We regret Canadian Foreign Minister's hasty support for the unfounded and unacceptable accusations on the part of the UK with regard to the Skripal case. The British blame game based on the word likely but not on trustworthy investigation, hard facts and proper international procedures is highly reprehensible and extremely counterproductive." I do want to ask you, though, I mean, this is based on a likely scenario.
Well, I think now we've gone beyond likely. I think it's very clear what this substance was, and we know where it was manufactured. We know that it was manufactured in a Russian government facility. So, I mean, that means either one of two things. Either they are responsible, the state is responsible, or they lost control of it. And seeing as they've come up with no other explanation, we now say that the Russian state is responsible for what happened.
And as I'm just sticking with Trudeau or the Guard government, has the Prime Minister talked to your Prime Minister yet, do you know?
Not yet. They're hoping to find some time today.
Okay. I just wonder what the long-term impact is going to be with Russia retaliation. I mean, keep in mind, there was some talk Britain was going to launch a cyber manipulation of them, but you're talking about Russia. Russia's the masters of cyber attacks. Aren't you worried you're going to get something back in return?
Well, I mean, we've already had things back in return, and we're not the only people. I mean, cyber attacks by the Russian state have been going on all over the world. Denmark, the Ukraine, the Baltic states have all been subject to these sorts of attacks. And I think it's just gone too far, and we can't be not do anything because we're frightened of what the Russians might do to us. And so long as we have a united front against this, and so far it's very interesting that the Russians have come out and criticised Chrystia Freeland's statement, but nobody is stepping up to the Russian side. I haven't heard a single person stepping up to support the Russians.
Aha, but Donald Trump, who tweets about everything, has yet to tweet anything about this, and I wonder if that says something to you. Maybe he's not completely outside.
Well, he had a phone call with the Prime Minister today in which he said that he believed the Russians were responsible for it. And his UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, has very clearly stated that the United States believes that the Russians were responsible. So I think that's a pretty clear indication that they're with us on this.
Well, subject to change without notice with the president, you never know. I want to quickly get your thoughts, though. I mean, on the scale of a response, how does this compare to the last ex-Russian spy that was poisoned?
It's much bigger.
And
the last time we did anything on this scale was 30 years ago. So this is a much bigger response, and I think it takes into account not just this episode, but all the other things that the Russians have been doing over the last 5-6 years.
I'm always mystified why, that when they went on a sort of an assassination attempt, they used something that's so obviously fingerprinted by Russia. I mean, did they think ahead and say, okay, we'll get this kind of reaction, it'll be very high profile, and all our spies that are thinking about turning against us will get the message that you're going to have this coming if you do it?
I think it sends a message to all the people they consider to be their enemies, but it also considers a message to the rest of us about what they're prepared to do.
All right. Well, High Commissioner, thanks for coming on the show. I haven't had you on before. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up, we asked two experts if the new NDP leader is a Sikh separatist sympathizer. Please stay with us. Welcome back. While he was still an Ontario NDP MP before winning the NDP leadership at the federal level, Jagmeet Singh spoke at a rally drumming up support for a separate Sikh homeland. The push for Khalistan is a challenging topic for Canadian politicians, and that was particularly evident during the Prime Minister's recent tour of India. Singh issued a statement responding to the Globe and Mail article, but he declined to say if he supports a separatist state in India, but it reads in part, "While there, I spoke directly about the pain in the community and my own past, the learning about my heritage. When faced with that knowledge that your relatives were targeted for who they were, you are faced with the question of how to respond. My response was to embrace my identity and work harder to stand up for human rights and not allow the voices of the marginalized to be made silent." Well, let's bring in someone who knows a thing or two about this issue. Arshi Mann is a reporter of The Extra in Toronto. He's written on the controversy over Sikh extremism. Arshi, is there a political price, you believe, to be paid for Jagmeet Singh speaking at this pro-Khalistan movement rally in 2015?
I think that's still yet to be determined. I mean, when you're looking at the speech that Jagmeet Singh gave, you have to kind of look at it in multiple parts. There's the actual content of the speech, there's the venue for it, and of course his response to the Globe and Mail article. The content of his speech was quite banal, actually. In it, he doesn't call for a separate Sikh homeland. I've interviewed Singh in the past. I've been following his career for a long time. To my knowledge, he's never publicly called for a separate Sikh homeland. What he's talked about is that Sikhs should have a right to self-determination, similar to, say, Quebecois people or Catalonians. The venue was a little bit more problematic and might get a little bit of ire. Over there were, of course, people calling for an independent Khalistan. And there were also posters venerating Jarnail Singh Bindranwala, who is a militant leader killed in 1984 during Operation Blue Star. Bindranwala is a figure that some people look up to as a kind of resistance leader, while many others condemn as a terrorist. So how this exactly plays out politically, I think we still don't quite know.
I wanted to, if I can, bring in a big voice in the Indo-Canadian community. He's got a political background. He's got